Have you ever wondered what it felt like to feel exotic? Have you ever heard the term used in tandem with a person, a black person even? Today, I interviewed Eric Stewart, a black boy who's been in private school his entire life. When I asked him about his experience as a black student, he said this.
I don't know. I guess it's most of what I know, so I don't really know what it feels like not to go to private. Like, I went to a charter school when I got to Philadelphia, which was pretty terrible. But all I knew before that was private school, so I just thought that's how it went for everybody. Like, you know, it was school.
Yeah.
That's what I thought school was.
I went to Parkside Christian Academy in Boston. I went to Fairweather for a year, also in Boston, or like probably right outside of Boston, some suburb. I went to Cush for a very brief moment in the 7th grade, and then St. Anne's and 8th and 9th grade, and then I started going to that charter school.
Eric was a smart kid, very, very smart. He was so smart, in fact, that he'd stopped investing himself in his schoolwork at a very early age. This would also lead to a decision that he'd made that would alter his future as a student.
But Parkside, because I was there for years, and they ran out of stuff to teach me in, like, the 5th grade. Like, I was doing the 8th grade math classes. Like, it was just, there was nothing else for me. They had to get books from other places, like, books that they didn't have ordered. They had to order so that I'd have something to do. So that was not the best experience. I checked out, like, after the 5th, that was the beginning of when I started to check out from school, because I was like, oh, I don't really have to work that hard, and I can still do this, which was not a good precedent to set. But Cush wasn't the place. I was already, by the time I got to Cush, disinterested.
Though it was a small moment in time, Eric did have one place where he became intellectually engaged at school. This would be the fateful St. Anne's, the school where his father and soon-to-be mother went. As children. He also begins to explain his thoughts on being exoticized by his peers.
I mean, it was interesting. Like, there were one or two times where it was, like, bad to be the black kid. Like, it was dangerous, and, you know, I had to fight. But really, it was just, you know, like, almost universal adulation, because once you're a black kid, you're automatically exotic as a black kid in a mostly white private school. So, you know, people are just interested in you because you're there, and they don't know what your life is like. And then, you know, it was a school full of artists, so it was, like, just the kind of school I probably was supposed to be going to the whole time. And so, it was pretty good. You know, there were a couple times where somebody said something I didn't like, and so, you know, we got in a fight, or, you know, I yelled at somebody. But really, you know, I had a few black friends, because there were other kids in that school that were black kids. And so we, you know, were close because we were, you know, like aliens in a strange land. And everybody else dealt with me like that alien. They touched my hair all the time, or, you know, like, use some slang that they didn't normally use because I was a black kid. So it was, you know, it was about what you would expect. Like, how it is, I feel like, for black people in most places where they are the minority. It's just people are gonna approach you like you're not, you know, like you're a minority. Like, oh, what is that thing? Let's examine. So that was how it was at St. Anne's. But it was also, like I said, the best learning experience I've ever had. So, you know, it's a trade-off. Like, sometimes you have to be a little exoticized in order to get that schooling information. Like, it wasn't an unfamiliar sensation, because when I was going to Parkside, I would be in an 8th grade reading class, and all my other friends would still be doing their 5th grade work. So it wasn't, like, a new experience to be the odd man out. So when I got to St. Anne's, it wasn't weird. I just got there, and I was like, oh, so it's like this again. Like, I thought it was going to be different, because everyone was a super genius, but it's just a different thing that they exoticize you for.
Because Eric was so used to being the smart one and special without having to do work to get there, he was never able to fully materialize as a mature young man until the inevitable happened. He dropped out of college.
Yeah, it was just, I you know, I thought I was special, and so I thought it would always be as easy as it was. And then I got out into the world and found out it wasn't that easy, and that was a hard adjustment to make at 18. Like, you know, I'm sure it's hard for everybody, but some people have had to work just to get through school. I've had to work really hard. I've had to travel an hour and a half both ways. And, you know, the work is hard for them, so they have to work twice as hard. And so then when you get out into the world, you know that hard work is coming. I didn't know that. because school was so easy and they told me that I was so special that I just thought I'd get out of the world and I'd find something to excel at, because that's what you do. You know, there were a whole bunch of things, like, where finding out that giving half ever wasn't going to be enough. Like, you know, I couldn't just sleep through 3 days of class and then come in the fourth day and be ready to be a class in college. You know, I couldn't sleep through a day of work and then go back to work the next day and just have them think it was okay. So it was a hard adjustment. It was difficult. It probably took me until a couple years ago to feel like I was doing adulthood. Even well. Not very well. Not good, but just like adequately. You know.
Mid-chew, Eric explains in greater detail what college was like and how mentally unprepared he was for the demanding task college would throw at him and how he couldn't just do what he used to do.
It was interesting. College, you know, like, they don't... On the one hand, they're telling you that you're an adult. Like, you manage all your own time and you pay for the food and, you know, all this other stuff. But then you're in, like, a boarding school. So you're, like, an adult, and you're trapped in between worlds in college. And I didn't know, like, I was still a child. When I got to school at 18, I was still very much a child. I didn't know how to do the adult half of that work. So, you know, I just wouldn't go to class because I didn't feel like it. And I didn't know that there would be, like, you know, when you cut class in high school, you cut class until somebody noticed that you were cutting class and came to get you. And then, you know, you went to class for a little while until they stopped caring, and then you cut class again. So, I just cut class, like, the whole first semester. After the first couple weeks, I was like, I don't really like these classes, and they're hard, and whatever. I just started cutting class until the middle of the semester, where, A, I was unprepared for midterms, and then I sat down with the person who was giving me a scholarship, and he's like, so, this is not so acceptable. And it wasn't until that point that I knew that anything was wrong. I mean, I knew, like, intellectually that not going to class was not a good thing. But that was the first time I'd ever seen consequences for that action. It was strange. Like, I had to become an adult. Which, like, I guess in 19 is not early for people to become an adult. That's about when you're supposed to do it. But it was real quick. Like, one day I was in school when I was a kid, and then a couple weeks later, I got back here. You know, maybe I had the summer after my American debacle that my parents gave me to, like, recover. But then after that, I had to figure out how to be a person. Like, and not just a person, like, by my estimation, but suddenly I had to appear as a person to this person that wanted to give me a job, and this person that wanted to give me a house. And so that started to make me realize, like, what people's standards were. What was going... Not just what I like to do or what I thought was going to be good, but what were people's standards of success? What were people's standards for, you know, that they would look at you for hiring, that they would look at you for housing, that they would look at you for a discount on something?
As he grew up, Eric began to mature and even reflect on his earlier years as a late teen / young adult. Here, he begins to see the error of his ways and talks about different paths he could have chosen for optimal success.
If I had gone to work for a couple years before I went into school, so I knew what that was and what I had to do to be able to work, then I would have gotten into college and been like, oh, this is easy, because, you know, I mean, it's already paid for. It's not like they can really fire me from this. And the work is so much easier than real work. I don't have to pay nobody bills. I don't have to, if somebody doesn't like me, like, I can complain about them. There's always recourse for a college student that there isn't for a working man. Like, you just have to do the job that's in front of you as a working person. You know, if you want to get paid today, you just gotta do it. Whether you like it, whether you like the people that are there. But college, like, anything you have to complain about, you can go to a dean or a provost or a RA and be like, I don't like it so much. And they'll sit down with you and try and figure out how to make it better. You know. So, I think coming out of college was probably as good for me as anything that I've learned.
Because of his learning experience post-dropout was handled so well, Eric was able to share with us a few achievements he'd made over the past several months, a sign that he'd learned from his past mistakes.
Oh, one of my recent successes. Well, I just recently moved into an apartment, my first, my very own apartment, which is a success for me personally. I mean, I make enough money now to pay what an apartment costs, plus lights and gas and cable. It's all mine, so I no longer have to live, you know, by anybody's standard but my own, which is probably not the best way to do it. But you know, it feels good to, like, have something, even though it's not mine, like, I don't own it, just to have a space that psychically is all my space. Like, that feels great. So, recent success. I've had a job now for, it'll be 6 years in May, which, if you had asked me at 18, I wouldn't have known that that was a thing you had to do, like, keep a job for multiple years. But then, like, I wasn't capable of it. I lost a bunch of jobs between 18 and 21 just not knowing what was necessary to keep them. Like, I was like, they hired me when I was high, so I guess I could be high at the job all the time, right? You know, it was, it took some growing. So now I feel like I've grown to the point where I can call myself an adult and not laugh.
This was Dubois' podcast from iMovie Studios. Thank you for listening.